It's another of our Friday conversations between Kurt and me, Cheryl Spaulding, for Joseph People. This morning, Kurt, I thought we would talk about blaming externally your job loss and then blaming yourself for what happened, because it seems to be becoming an issue in Joseph People. How do you get out of that?
Well, I would say blaming is a basic pattern we probably have very early, even in childhood. Usually if you have siblings, it's our brother or sister. At that time, it's never us.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't do it. And even if you look around now, even on the global scale or nations, we blame our enemy or someone did it. With the job loss, we can blame somebody, but it's hard to verify, because if you let go or if you're fired, most employers don't tell you the truth, which in a way is a shame. They tell you exactly. At least you could deal with it.
And they're all worried about legal action,
and you can sue everybody, and the lawyers look for work too, and if there's a good chance to sue a company and they have some money, and usually it doesn't cost you anything, because if they win the case, they get, I don't know how much, more than half or something.
Right.
And then, of course, our mind gets hold of it, thinking over time, well, maybe they were out for me, or I was too old, or it wasn't too good. And it's very difficult to see what is really correct. If you are depressed, of course you get angry, and it could get hold of you and check on yourself, on your mind, how much time you spend on it, blaming.
And people are doing that. They're spending ruminating on the blame.
Yeah, it's a very common thing. And then ask yourself, how is it helping you? Usually it doesn't help. So then the fact is, you will let go, and it's a shock. It's happened to you, and the question is always, why? Why is it happening? And you won't get the answer. So the next step is, it happened, what do you need to do? Like if I drive off the highway and end up in a muddy field, well, if I spin my wheels, what does happen? I just get deeper in the mud.
Right.
And
right.
I'm stuck in the mud.
And then how do you get?
The idea is, where do you want to go? Get back on the highway. Or you wonder, if I have the right of way. Well, if I might have the right of way, and I don't want to die right. Because someone might not respect my right of way. So those things happen in our lives.
Yes.
The question is, ask yourself where you want to go. And of course, it's a great inconvenience. You might be angry, fearful, and anxious. What are you going to do next? Fear is, what if it happens again? And then it can switch over to your self-doubt.
Where the personal blame myself.
Well, then you say, well, I must be no good. And then you can follow, depending if you were ever told that before, if you know, all the past gets triggered. If you were told you were stupid and no good, and that would just pull up with the hearing. And then you basically berate yourself. Rather than someone else doing it, you berate yourself and put yourself, and you are no good and all that kind of thing. And eventually you even might start to believe it.
And you're yanking yourself back to a childhood
experience, it's defrosted.
And brought out?
It's brought out by the present.
Okay.
And you have to challenge it. And again, you say, well, who says so that you are no good? So rather than just having that berating on this, you have to be kind to yourself. Even if I am stupid or limited, well, who isn't?
Right.
Well, we have limits, so maybe I'm not so bright. I wasn't gifted with a powerful intellect. So the idea is, well, I do have some good stuff. Again, got to check that out if you work yourself into that state.
Looking at the
well,
things
again,
that you know that are good
about you. The idea
is
the balance.
Okay.
You know, there are people who think they're a gift to the world. It's too bad no one recognizes it. And then there are other people that think they're a piece of whatever, and they're just the opposite. but we are basically all good people and we're as good as everybody else. It's our responsibility to sort that out. The next step is, again, even if you have to self-blame, what do you want to do? What is your course of action? Where you want to be? And then usually it's fear. I'm afraid I repeat something. I'm afraid I get clobbered again. And then either you just stay in bed and then no one pays
vegetate,
the bills, or
vegetate,
you
know, right.
Or we have a fantasy, a prince will come and pick you up. And usually there are fewer princes out there.
I haven't met very many princes in my lifetime.
And then the guys hope that good mother will appear.
Right.
And just take care of me. And usually the women want a husband. They don't want to be mothered. So the fantasy that someone will stop by, and of course the internet will take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Match.com, everybody lies there,
well,
how great
kind of
they
stuff.
Are. And
right.
You have. So you might be betrayed there too, and especially if you have some money, and if a woman has some money and good looking, or the guy, the same thing. And so you have to be very careful.
Do you think some of this is exaggerated in this country by the way in which we judge people? For instance, I often say in Joseph's People that America judges you by what you did for a living, for instance. So if you pick up an obituary page, the very first statement in America is, well, he was.
Yeah.
He was a banker.
Yeah.
He was, they dream up something. And if they weren't anything, you know, she was a homemaker. They have to have a statement of what you were. Do you think that exaggerates this problem?
I don't know how other cultures are. I'm sure they have similar things. But I would say yes. Our accomplishments are listed, you know, which college we went to,
right.
What we accomplished. And that is true. That is respected. Still true. If you have money and you're respected, and if you are just a good human being with not much money, who cares? And it has always been like that. Even if you look at the scriptures and all these godly people, they were all chased away because I spoke the truth and no one could tolerate it. And they basically said that this is for you, can't take it with you or whatever. So if you remember that too, you know, if you're fortunate and you have a belief in the higher power, and if you study that a little bit, apparently in front of God we're all equal, the king, the beggar, or women or men or children, and it doesn't matter who you are alive. So that will help in your self-concept. Who am I? Am I the title? Am I the job position? So again, we talk, who am I as a person? And we are judged constantly. And then whose judgment do we accept?
I had a very interesting experience over the past month, and I don't know that I talked to you about the funeral of the man that I went to, who I'd known for years. Two funerals. One was by someone who was pretty well known and, quote, accomplished all kinds of things. Now, granted that this person was fairly old, but even so, when I went to the funeral, there were very few people at that funeral. Now, a person I have known for 20 years who worked on my house, did gardening and all that kind of stuff, and I went to his funeral. The place was packed, and it was a very humbling experience because I knew him, but I didn't know him. And I always knew he was a spiritual person, but I didn't know to what extent. The people from that church, which is a big church, came in droves and talked about him in a way that I knew him but never knew him. I knew he'd been in Vietnam. I didn't know he wanted to be a priest before he went to Vietnam. When he got back, everything was different. He'd become addicted and there were all kinds of problems. So all his life as an African American, he lived his life in a very low level. And then people talked about him, and I got to tell you, it was a deeply humbling moment for me and for lots of people. And there was a woman came up to me from the church on the way out, and British, obviously very well-to-do, and said to me, how did you know him? She wasn't asking me the question, how do you know him? She was asking the question, how were you blessed to have known him? And I got to tell you, it was probably the most profound, actual demonstration of what we're talking about that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, famous people who get big funerals and all, but this was a gardener who never had a real job in his life, no kids. It was absolutely amazing. And I said to some friends after, I don't know anyone that I know personally who's going to have a funeral like that, including me. I don't know anybody. It was stunning.
that just reminds me of a recent trip to the West Coast. I eventually watched a movie called Mr. Church, and that really describes what the plot is. I don't know, it's basically a single mother who's dying of cancer. And then this person who is a home care person comes in and just cooks for them, and he doesn't reveal his identity. And he just does that service. And who is he? The question is always, who is he? And then you see just this situation and how people conduct themselves. It would be worthwhile watching if...
It's called Mr. Church.
Mr. Church. Mr.
Okay,
Church.
I'll watch it. I've never seen it.
It's a more recent movie, I think. It really addresses some of that issue. Then going back to our theme, the natural process for our minds to the blame game, it just comes, you know, like
right.
I'm always a gardener. I never sow weeds. They just come up.
I like that.
And our mind doesn't help us because it picks up all kinds of stuff. And,
yep.
You know, someone tells the mind can be anything, a crying baby. Or even if you have dogs and you take a dog for a walk. You know, I walk by my flower bed. It doesn't smell my beautiful flowers. And if you have a big dog who takes food for a walk, so just accept that when your mind brings all that stuff. We are human beings, and then you have to challenge that. What do I learn from this? And get up and see where you want to be. You can always make mistakes. People who do nothing, they never make mistakes.
It's true.
Well, the only thing that make mistakes, they get weaker, more dumb. Even if you made a miserable mistake, just ask yourself, what went wrong? What did you learn from
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what can you take away from
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what did you learn from it? If you learned something, it was great. And I took once some kind of a workshop about change, and they were all, you know, risk-taking, and apparently there were some companies who encouraged people to try things. And when they made mistakes, that was actually celebrated. Because from a mistake...
You learn.
You learn. And if you learn nothing, if you just stop blaming, you don't analyze it and think about it or reflect about it, and you learn nothing. So you are right, you might repeat it until you might learn something. And
you know,
if I'm stubborn as heck, or if I
right.
think it's always other people, you don't change. So it's worthwhile to think about it. But then the problem is when then people get very angry, then we get into substance abuse.
Yes.
If your brain is clouded, you can't think, you can't even see internally clearly. So if you don't see externally clearly, well, it's hard to move into a direction, and internally the same thing. So then people just trying to dumb the pain.
With alcohol or drugs
yeah,
or whatever.
To yeah, to reduce the pain. I mean, our body is very wise. It gives us pain and tells us something is wrong. And of course, we have pain in our emotional bodies and our injuries to ourselves. We have also the ability to look at that. It's sometimes good to talk to someone else because we have blind spots. And
right.
Another conference, someone told me once that an explorer wanted to explore the North Pole. And he knew he had to go north with his sled and all
right.
that. And he had a lot of provisions, and eventually he died. He never made it. So the people found him with a helicopter. He didn't realize it wasn't a huge ice floe.
And he wasn't going to be able to get off of it anyway.
Yeah, so sometimes it's good to share with
okay.
someone you think might know a little bit more or have been there. And that's why Joseph's people is so good. So many people have been
yes.
there.
It's
and
the combined learning and knowledge.
Yeah, and say, you know, I've known this territory.
Right.
And don't talk to someone who has never been there and they just might blame you and say something wrong with you.
Which is where you get into the thing where you have family members who blame people.
Yes, and
the
you know, you
yeah.
pick the people who just prove that your initial thinking was right. You know, that you
mm-hmm.
were no good anyway.
Right.
And then, of course, if you buy into that and someone says, well, maybe you are okay, then they think there's something wrong with them.
You know, for me, I think you also have to develop techniques to deal with that kind of emotional pain. I have what I call pity parties. I allow myself 24 hours every now and then, too often, like every couple months, when I finally reach the stage where I'm feeling absolutely overwhelmed and I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I allow myself 24 hours when I can stay in my nightgown and my robe, drink tea, read books, not answer my phone, and not do a damn thing for 24 hours except feel sorry for myself.
Yeah, but see, that's good.
And once the 24 hours is
up,
I have to go back to my life.
Yeah, you treat yourself for a break.
Yeah, I need
a break. And feel miserable. No, that's fine.
Yeah, I can sit there with my dog. They're happy to feel miserable for me.
You acknowledge the misery.
Yeah. Because I don't know anybody who doesn't experience that at some level.
You can deny misery, a denial of it, you know, when they call the Pollyannas.
Yeah.
Or if you are miserable and you go to someone who's so trained to be cheerful all the time.
Oh, I know.
And they're trapped in that too. They're always taught to smile.
And they're not allowed to be miserable.
And they're smiling, but inside they're crying.
The Robin Williams of this world. The Robin Williams of this world, who externally are always on, but aren't really.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing that I see, is that people who are feeling like blaming and feeling overwhelmed like that, they don't understand that that's common. And all experience is new to everybody. When you first have an experience, you know, I'm the only person in the world that ever lost a job. Yeah. I'm the only person in the world that ever got fired. And in reality, as you say, I think that's the hope that Joseph's people can bring and that others can bring. Is no, and there are commonalities.
Yeah.
There are common things about it.
Yeah.
But it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a very common problem.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you.